This is Views from the Watershed. I'm Lizzie Mogul, your tour guide. The Papacton Cemetery is a remote and resonant place. Like all cemeteries, it's a marker of loss. Here, though, not just the loss of individual people, but also of entire communities that were displaced to build the water system.
My name is Mary Ann Greenfield. I'm the owner of Gravestone Cleaning Service. I live in Delhi with my husband and our pets. I'm also the Delhi Town Historian, and I'm a retired nurse. The Board of Water Supply laid out the Papacton Cemetery in this section of land because the Papacton Reservoir was the first of the two reservoirs that were built for the Delaware watershed system. It was a really good place to put a cemetery. This is the nicest and most open piece of land. The rest of the land is not flat enough. The DEP mows it frequently. It's always very nicely kept. The DEP owns all of the land that we can see in this immediate area because it's all part of the watershed. The towns in both taking areas, Papacton and Cannonsville, were both disinterred from their local cemeteries and reinterred here. The Papacton taking area was the towns Papacton, Arena, Shavertown, Union Grove, and those are the cemeteries that are represented here. And the Cannonsville taking area was Cannonsville, Rock Rift, Rock Royal, and Granton. The cemetery was laid out by town. The signage is by the name of the cemetery and not its location. The original thought was that this was the cemetery where the unclaimed were buried, but that turned out not to be accurate. The families of the people who were going to be disinterred from the cemeteries in the taking area could choose where they wanted their families to go. So, for example, the Cannons of Cannonsville, there are probably 15 Cannon family members buried here. Sometimes there was no family. People were very poor. Disinterring the remains and moving them to a different cemetery was an expensive project, so they just left their family members when they moved away. At least a third of the burials, if not more, are children, because so many children died of typhoid and diphtheria and strep throat and things. In 2016, I was awarded the bid by the New York City DEP to restore the Papacton Cemetery. The DEP had seen my ad in the local newspaper and called me to see if I could clean 300 gravestones. And I'd only cleaned one or two before that at a time. So that was fun. The stones were in pretty rough shape. Many of them were broken. And by broken, I mean piles of white marble that looked like puzzle pieces. In the 1950s and 1960s, the state of conservation is that when you find broken pieces of stones, just throw them out. If I could go back 50 years and say, don't do that, because now we can put them back together. Most of the stones were so covered with lichen and moss that you couldn't read the names on them. After I cleaned one of the stones, I found out it was my grandmother's cousin. There were 1,525 burials here. And when I came here in 2016, over 1,200 gravestones had disappeared. There were only about 305 stones that could be determined. Fortunately, when the cemetery was laid out, each had a little copper plate on top of it, concrete sleeve. I bought a metal detector so I could go around and find the copper plates and determine where the graves were. That's how I determined about 110 unmarked graves. But there are markers with no name, nothing on the directory, no way to identify them. A lot of those I didn't address in any way because I have no way of knowing who they are. I spent a lot of time on genealogies of the people buried here. I found that there were 27 men who were veterans from the Revolutionary War through the Spanish-American War. I was able to mark each veteran's grave with a solid bronze flag holder specific to the war. And all of the veterans have flags. When I first started the project, I had my 6-foot folding table and a couple of folding chairs. There's no telephone, no plumbing, no nothing. Occasionally, I could get a cell phone signal standing next to this pine tree, but not always, depending on how the wind was blowing. I would sit here and just watch the leaves move, change color on the hills, listen to the baby eagles screaming. It was just complete peace and solitude here. But I've never seen any animals in the cemetery. I've never seen deer, rabbits, no bear here, and no woodchucks. Every cemetery I know has woodchuck holes. Not a single woodchuck hole in the cemetery. We did find a snake under a rock once, but that was it. Let's take a walk through the cemetery, and I can show you some of the gravestones that are my all-time favorites. This is the gravestone for Jabez Sisson, who died December 5th, 1846, in the 94th year of his age. He worked on a whaling ship off the coast of Greenland and retired from that to move in with his daughter to Cannonsville. I think this is one of the most interesting stones. It's also beautiful white marble. You can see on this gravestone, there's a broken stem on the flower, and that usually means a child's life who's cut short. This is a lovely little willow and urn white marble tablet. The willow symbolizes a rebirth and rejuvenation, life again. This is the Cannon family section. Benjamin Cannon was a very important man for whom Cannonsville was named. Here are the 5 members of the Cannon family who were all in the Revolutionary War. There's a gravestone for Waite Cannon with a Masonic symbol. It's the square and the compass. This is another beautiful white marble gravestone for the 3 wives of Nathaniel Cannon. Fanny died March 21st, 1828, in the 40th year of her age. Susan died February 18th, 1839, in the 40th year of her age. Mary died December 8th, 1839, in the 40th year of her age. And there's Nathaniel Cannon buried one whole row away from his wives who he survived. This was Philip Cole. He, as far as I know, was the only African-American Civil War veteran who was buried in Papacton Cemetery and one of the only black soldiers in the Civil War from Delaware County. He was paid by somebody in Cat Hollow to go to the war in their place. He didn't die in the Civil War. He died after he got home. And Theron Hubble jumps out of his grave every chance he gets. That's been reset 3 times.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Views from the Watershed. Learn more about this program at walkingthewatershed.com/podcasttour.